When you need red wine at 4 p.m., sushi at 9 p.m., a breakfast burrito at 8 a.m., and ibuprofen at 10 a.m., Postmates it. Postmates is your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery service all year round. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. You don't even have to know where the store is. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, browse local restaurants and businesses, and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with code LOCKEDON. From San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Caspick, this is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. The MLB postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. Coming up on today's show, we actually want to go a little bit of a different direction. There was an article in, believe it or not The Athletic this time. I know I'm constantly talking about articles in The Athletic, but this piece was in The Nation, and they had a big piece by Kelly Candale and Peter Dreyer about analytics in baseball and how they're quote-unquote being used as a weapon against the players. So the title of the article is "A Tool to Improve Baseball Performance Has Become a Weapon Against the Players: How Baseball's Numbers Game Threatens to Strangle the Sport." And so, my goodness, you know, I read the whole thing and there's a lot of solid points. They're not just rambling about total nonsense here, but overall, just the key takeaway for me was that this is totally viewing the issue through the wrong lens. We're blaming the wrong thing here for the problems with not the game itself, but the problems with, you know, between the players and the owners, the labor disputes. And it's really just a shame because people will read this and just assume it to be true, but really there's nothing to justify some of the arguments that get made in this piece. And I just want to actually start by saying that I have no doubt that there are problems with the way that the game is currently set up for players in terms of how they're compensated for their performance. And the issue is that guys aren't paid early on in their career when they're performing at their highest level, and they're not able to reach free agency until after they've already had their best years. And now teams are just simply being smart about not paying for a guy's decline years like they used to. That's not a conspiracy. That's not analytics being used as a weapon. That's just good evaluation technique. And that's just good projections. And that's just improved analysis, the way that we're able to not read into certain numbers that we used to look at and think that those were the most important numbers, but in fact, they were not, and it didn't translate to results on the field. So teams aren't going to pay for something that's not going to translate to results on the field. Someone like Evan Longoria commented on this very topic in the early part of 2019, like in January or February. I think on Instagram, he sent out a post about how it was already the new calendar year and some of the biggest stars of the game, he was talking about Harper and Machado, had yet to sign. And then Longoria said, "It seems like every day they're coming up with a new number that devalues players." And that's basically the sentiment that this article takes on. And I've come to the conclusion that the only way that a person could really think that is if they don't understand the numbers. And those numbers that they don't understand are being used to devalue them and players like them or their peers as players. And that makes sense. I would feel attacked and vulnerable as well if some number I didn't understand was being used against me. But the fact is that those numbers reflect a real reality here. And so it actually is the responsibility, in my opinion, of the players to understand these numbers, or at least their agents, to understand these numbers, because as much as it can hurt certain guys, it can actually help other guys as well who might be undervalued by traditional metrics. Like, you can have a guy who has a bad batting average but gets on base a lot, or a pitcher. This is a better representation of how the numbers can actually help guys. You can have a pitcher who's fielding independent pitching says that he should be much better than his ERA was for that given season. And so if you're a pitcher and you don't know that and you just say, I had a 5 ERA, I'm bad, but your underlying numbers say you should be more at like a 3.5 ERA, teams see that and they want to target you, but they're going to take advantage of the fact that you don't actually know that you have more value than you think you have, and you might sign for a bargain deal without even knowing that you're more valuable than that. So it's really just information, and you can't say that information is some kind of conspiracy being used against players. It's just that the players don't understand the information for the most part, and teams do, and it's their job to know that information. It's a business, and it's their total job to get accurate evaluations of what these players are going to provide for them for the years that they're committing to paying them. The issue is guys are not being eligible to be paid until they've already passed their prime years, and players want to be paid into their late 30s when teams are anticipating an age-related decline. And even in this article, it talks about a so-called age curve. It's like all of us decline physically with age. It's not like some sort of conspiracy. There's all kinds of evidence that guys, baseball players, decline with age. And if you're a team, it definitely behooves you to know that and to know what to expect. So you can't really blame the teams for that. The issue is the players need to get paid more when they're in their prime years. Teams just cannot take advantage of players who are young. It doesn't make any sense that teams get to hold you at like no cost for the best years of your career, and then they're only obligated to pay you once you've already reached the end of your prime. And for a long time, this wasn't really an issue because teams weren't very smart about this, and they would pay guys well into their late 30s based on performance in their mid to late 20s. Like, a guy would reach free agency at age 31, 32 and sign like a 6-7-8 year deal for a huge average annual value that was pretty much based on what they did in the past. And then those guys would inevitably not perform well into their mid to late 30s. And you'd be stuck with an albatross of a contract. So there are plenty of issues. Service time manipulation, guys being held down so their service time clock starts a year late so teams can control them for an additional year. That needs to change. The arbitration process is extremely flawed and needs to change. And then the fact that teams get 3 years of control without owing you anything more than the league minimum seems totally unfair and should change. I'm totally pro-player on this argument, but the idea that analytics are what is are like being used as a weapon is just not true at all, in my opinion. Coming up in the second half of the show, I want to elaborate more on this opinion about why analytics are not used as a weapon, because it's simply just science, essentially. And science, you know, to say science is being used as a weapon against you usually means that you hold on to some false assumptions and beliefs. And that's exactly the case here, I think, with players who are used to traditional numbers that might have made them look good, but all of a sudden it's like, hey, these other numbers show that you're not good. And they're like, whoa, analytics are being used as a weapon against me, when in fact it's just more of an accurate representation of you as a baseball player. And that's all coming up next. But first, everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite team or seeing your favorite band in person. I want to talk about the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, where you can attend these shows and events and earn credit towards attending your next live event through Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is the top source for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price, section, row, sit exactly where you want to sit, all through the Vivid Seats app. And what makes them really stand out here is their Vivid Seats loyalty program, which allows you to earn credit back through something called Vivid Seats Rewards. You can download the Vivid Seats app at the App Store or Google Play Store, and you'll be automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. You can attend the biggest concerts, the hottest games, postseason games, theater shows, and more. Download the app, automatically join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today, and make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. If you enter special promo code POSTSEASON at checkout, you can earn a discount of up to $100. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll continue talking about this article in The Nation by Kelly Candel and Peter Dreyer about how a tool to improve baseball performance has become a weapon against the players. Just kind of want to run through a quick anecdote about this. I actually had a Twitter interaction with Derek Holland after he was released by the Giants, kind of randomly ended up communicating with Derek Holland about this topic. But he said he wasn't happy about how this year went, but he wanted to thank the Giants for giving him an opportunity, even though it was definitely a rocky relationship. And Holland said he wasn't sure why, he was surprised that they let him go. And somebody naturally replied, "You were surprised you had like a 6 ERA. And then, of course, Holland responded and said, "Check out my numbers in my last like 13 appearances out of the bullpen." And he was right, they were good. But then I felt the need to come in and point out to him that his numbers against left-handed hitters were phenomenal and that some contender was probably going to pick him up for that skill that he had. I pointed out to him he had allowed like one extra base hit or four extra base hits to lefties over the last 2 years combined, and he hadn't allowed a home run against a lefty in like two seasons. And Holland said, he replied to me and said, "Wow, I didn't know that. Thanks for the info, haha," or something like that. He had no idea that he was dynamite against lefties, and the teams who were looking at him certainly knew that, and sure enough, a contender did pick him up. It was the Chicago Cubs. But the fact is, Holland, that's an example of analytics not being used against you, but being used in your favor. It's just a matter of information and knowing who you are as a player and what you bring to the table. And I don't remember if I said this or not, but thought about saying you should use this in negotiations as a free agent. And if he didn't know that, he's just walking into free agency with like a 6 ERA or whatever. He has no idea his value, because all of his value from where I'm sitting looks like it comes as a lefty specialist, and he didn't know. So it proves my point right there. So I just lastly want to mention one of the arguments that's used in this article that says that analytics are devaluing players or being used as a weapon against players, even worse. The line goes, quote, 10-year veteran outfielder Gerardo Parra, who had a .284 batting average for the Colorado Rockies last year, had to sign a minor league contract with the Giants in February because his weighted metrics did not rate highly enough compared with other hitters over 3 years. So there's just so much wrong with this sentence. I hate to say it, but they're using batting average to determine that he was supposedly a good player. It's like, well, he hit .284, yet he had to sign a minor league contract. What's up with that? Well, that's just so flawed on so many different levels. First of all, batting average, again, cannot be used as the primary way we evaluate a hitter. Just absurd to do so in 2019. Secondly, the fact that he played half his games in Coors Field matters. And so if you're a team that's simply acknowledging that, it's not that you're using analytics as a weapon. You're simply doing a better job of evaluating a player like Gerardo Parra. So even though Parra hit .284 with a .342 on base and .372 slugging, his park adjusted numbers suggested that he was 20% below average offensively. Again, that's not a weapon, that's just a fact. Using weighted runs created plus, by the way. It's just improved analysis, not a weapon. So his isolated power was just .087. So if you're hitting for almost no power, yet you play for the Colorado Rockies, that just says a lot about your lack of power. It means you have even less power than you were showing, a lot less power than you were showing in Denver. So this season, his park-adjusted numbers were actually quite similar. He was 25% below average as opposed to 20% below average the previous year, despite quote-unquote hitting .284. But this year, he hit .234 with a .293 on base and .391 slugging. So that's what that talent level translates to in a normal environment, and that's why teams weren't going to pay a bunch of money for Gerardo Parra, believing the mirage of his numbers at Coors Field. And to say his weighted metrics did not rate highly enough just makes it, again, sound like we don't understand the weighted metrics. They're just some confusing new age numbers that we don't understand. And they said he wasn't good, and that means it's being used as a weapon. When in fact, I think if more people were just informed and took the time to learn about these numbers and the players themselves, then we would stop feeling this way. Anyway, once again, I just want to reiterate, I'm so in favor of changes being made where players who are younger and have less service time get paid for that performance when they're in their prime, as opposed to the other way around, when they are only eligible to get paid once they've passed that point in their careers. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Just wanted to go off on that tangent, especially because it kind of involved Evan Longoria and Gerardo Parra, both of whom were Giants. Remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.